Good morning, Unity Church in Albany.
Good morning.
Happy belated Valentine's Day. I want each of you to know that I do love you madly. So never say you did not get a Valentine from me. Valentine's Day is also the 24th anniversary of the day we signed the deed to purchase this building. Two weeks later, I was elected to the board and became treasurer and had to pay the mortgage. Three years ago, when our minister had been here for an entire year, I was bold and I asked her if she would devote a Sunday to speaking on prayer. She happily turned the calendar to the first Sunday in February, wrote prayer in big letters, smiled at me and said, "I'll be on vacation, let me know how it goes." Well, she's done it to me again. I wish Reverend Crystal the best of everything. So I'm not a natural here. For the newcomer, I must say I'm not a minister. I don't play a minister on television. In fact, for 30 years, I followed the path of philosophy alone without religion. And I eventually found you can live without religion, but you can't live without spirituality. A wise man said to me one day, "You've regained your physical health. You've worked hard to regain emotional health. But until you have a spiritual practice, you'll never get better than you are today." He said, "A milk stool has three legs for a reason." And he left it at that. My result was finding my way to Unity. You'll find a lot of empty seats today because the dance flurry is up in Saratoga. And a lot of people who express their creativity through the dance are not here. I'll have you know that when I was young, I was addicted to the hokey pokey. But I turned myself around. If you haven't already guessed by all the songs, today's topic is love. The title is "I Am Love." The dictionary definition says strong affection arising from personal ties or attraction based on sexual desire. Psychologists tell us love is our greatest need. I will come back to that word need very shortly. And I'm not going to shortchange the needs of babies. They have expectations that we meet. However, the Apostle Paul writes in Corinthians, "Without love, you are nothing." Pretty strong words for a recently changed person. There's much more to this love thing than popular culture would have us believe. Love is much more than emotions. You heard from Eric Butterworth. He was quoted in the Daily Word today. I quote him a lot. Eric Butterworth says, "When you are not giving expression to love, you are out of the flow of the cosmic process of love, out of the flow of divine rhythm." Love is the actual expression of being loving. It is essentially nonverbal. Romantic poetry uses some pretty smarmy language. "You may see a stranger across a crowded room, fly to her side." Flop. I never got that fly. And even my beloved Cole Porter says, "It was just one of those nights, just one of those fabulous flights, a trip to the moon on gossamer wings." That's my problem, they're not gossamer. We've been conditioned to think we were born empty vessels and that we go out in the world to school to get knowledge. We go to church to get religion. And we go to some special person to get love. This need assumes love to be a commodity. Commodities are bartered and they can be in short supply. We know intuitively that love is a power, and love is a renewable energy. Love is never depleted. You are never less for having given love. Our need is not to be loved. Our need is to love. Love is not out there. Love is within here. This little word, to, is a central theme today. Two little letters, T-O. There's going to be several before we're done. I invite you to collect the entire set. In today's Daily Word, Eric Butterworth was quoted saying, God's desire to express completely through you and as you is so great. So and so and so. God expressing through you. If God is love, then that's what you're supposed to be expressing. Fear is a valid emotion. He goes on to say, you never completely reap the harvest of error. You always reap more than you sow. You can always turn away from fear and turn toward love. You can always say to yourself, I say it to myself, I say it when my friend is walking alongside me, I say it all the time, I love you. Chase that negative fear thought away. You can say it right now if you want. I love you.
I love you.
We are not children of flawed parents bereft of love. We are beloved children of God. And it looks like everyone here is over the age of 18. So I can say that we can, with the help of our Father, Mother, God, love ourselves and mentor ourselves. Butterworth goes on to say, I am created in and of love. It's my nature. It's the root of my being. I am love. There's no such thing as an absence of love, only a frustration of it. Love is not the cliches of popular culture. You don't give the commodity of love, rather you are loving. Love thy neighbor is a cliche, and it probably comes from ego consciousness, not from our highest Christ consciousness. Thus, it emanates from a place that's cut off from the divine flow. My friends know that I'm a history buff, and I'll follow all the way back to the original Aramaic to find that the original word would be better translated as love to your neighbor, love to yourself. Love to your enemy. This is the first of the wonderful twos. Those of you who are parents know the terrible twos. I have to bring you the wonderful twos. Think in terms of love to your neighbor. Out of the overflow of your own innate awareness of self-love, you empower him or her to reduce their resistance. Love them from a foundation of the root consciousness of the divine flow of this cosmic process, or as we simply say, from your Christ consciousness. When one loves from this Christ consciousness, all relationships are enhanced. Your relationship with your friend or partner is sweeter by far when you act lovingly rather than barter love as a commodity. The accent is on me. I am love. When I drive with my love lights on, 90% of the cars that go by while I'm talking, 95% of them all have their headlights on all the time. I strive throughout the day to go through the world with my love lights on, to make contact, give a smile, and brighten someone's day. I invite you to try the same. And here's a disclaimer. You can't have it both ways. You can't be both loving and resentful. You can't be both loving and hateful. It doesn't work that way. The flow only goes in one direction. You learned that when you were in your boat. When you resist someone, now there are two people who are in separation. You say, this person did something to me. And you, if you take the path of resistance and separation, now there's two people who are in resistance and separation, two people who are not loving. This is the second of the wonderful twos. This two is one you have to discard. Discard the notion that he did this to me or she did this to me. The two is poisonous. Butterworth isn't quite as violent in his terms. He says it's like the barb on a fish hook, that you lock yourself into resistance and separation when you say this was done to me. Someone did something, I'm reacting, and out of my bountiful love, I choose to act differently and not react in resistance. From our ego or sense consciousness, we limit ourselves to love's aspects of affection and desire at best, or love that is shallow and manipulative or even abusive at worst. Let's examine this love that emanates from our highest consciousness, our Christ consciousness. Paul Hasselbeck defines love as the ability to feel affection for, desire, attract oneself to, harmonize, and unify based on ideas, truths, principles, and laws that are divine in nature. We use love to harmonize everything in our life to be the best person we can be. And those words, ideas, truths, principles, and laws, are all capitalized. Reverend Crystal taught us, and when speaking of metaphysical, in the metaphysical realm, that these items are capitalized so we know that we're not talking about sensory truths, we're talking about truth at the Christ consciousness level. Love, says Hasselbeck, has three aspects. The familiar ability to form affection for or desire something. The next one, attraction. This is the one that I attracted myself to. This is the one that caused me to remember this reading and go back to it and make it a theme in this talk. The aspect of attraction, the ability to attract ourselves to something that is desired. Note the word to. The third aspect is harmony, the ability to unify or bring agreement and accord to our thoughts or to a situation. This attraction or thinking aspect of love is demonstrated in phrases like, I love motorcycles. This is the primary ability behind the law of attraction. Our beloved Patricia, I know she's here because I see her brilliant blue Subaru outside the door when I look out the window. When Patricia decided to buy a brilliant blue Subaru, when she's out on the highway, she saw more Subarus of all colors than she had ever seen before. Not because the universe created them for her, because she attracted herself to her desired end, and now she was noticing every aspect. We attract ourselves to something. This is diametrically opposed to how I grew up, what I learned growing up. I attract myself to something. This is the third of the important twos. You attract yourself to a person or a thing. And now that you have a third two, you have just departed the corny joke zone. Dennis is now unable to make any stories about tutus. We use the third aspect of love when we bring harmony between positions, people, or countries. You may be harmonizing with the right or the wrong people or institutions. Remember, love is a principle. It doesn't care how it's used. Love can be used both positively and negatively. We must use the ability of love in order to, in concert with other of our abilities. For example, understanding and judgment, in order to know and to choose the highest and best intention or task. And as we get involved, we probably will have to call upon our strength, our will, or stick-to-itiveness. On the Albany flag, it says assiduity, just means stick-to-itiveness. And you will probably have to power yourself with zeal, which you create yourself. This ability of love is neutral in character, and it is determined by the consciousness of the individual. Roger spoke of consciousness last week on the macro level. I'm speaking of consciousness on the micro level. Are we loving from our sense or ego consciousness, or are we loving from our Christ consciousness? As I was saying, love as principle does not care how it is used. It works for bad outcomes if that's what we are loving at this moment. Love is also the power behind the law of mind action. When Reverend Arthur was here, he would say, thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. Eric Butterworth would say, habits form circumstances. Dennis Ryan would say, what you think about comes about. Reverend Crystal gave a message about a month ago where the entire message was wrapped up in one sentence where she said, regardless of the ardent prayer that you speak, regardless of the denial that you craft, regardless of the eloquence of your affirmation, you're going to get what you expect. So if at the level of your consciousness you expect ill, you will form ill, you'll find it in your life, and you'll perhaps share it with others. Be careful what you ask for. Not all that long ago, I was single for 10 years. During that period, I learned during one attempt at relationship that I had attracted myself to someone who had all of the negative character defects that I had learned from my mother. And so my prayer was, please, someone different. You guessed it, the next time I attempted to form a relationship, it was with someone who demonstrated all of the negative traits I had learned from my father. Be careful what you ask for. Make certain you're asking for your highest and best good. How does the ability of love show up in our daily lives? Well, when Reverend Jim Fuller was new, he met people like me and Barbara Hale and Bill Hewson, a former trustee, and Wendy Connolly. We wanted to learn about the history of religion. We wanted to learn about the history of Scripture. Reverend Jim knew he needed help, and he prayed just that, help, over and over again on a long drive. Next time he checked his messages, a fellow named Reverend Phil Flint said, I'm a retired minister, and I enjoy your community, and I'd like to offer my assistance. Reverend Phil used the power of love to start as a delinquent, a family that had been lost the farm in the Depression and the Dust Bowl and returned to grow rocks in northern Vermont. And Reverend Phil, as a young man, was told by the judge, go to jail or go to the Navy. The Navy tested his intelligence, put him in flight training. While he was there, he manifested a mentor who said to him, you don't belong here. Take all they can teach you and then leave. Don't stay in the Navy. Go to school. Reverend Phil got accepted at Columbia University, and by the time he left, he had two doctorates. He decided he wanted a third doctorate, His favorite professor was coming from Germany to teach in Chicago. Phil went to Chicago and learned German. This is the fellow that came here to help teach us. He had a lengthy ministry in Houston where he spoke the truth, principles, and laws without dogma. He taught at 3 different universities in Texas, one of them in Dallas, where he had to commute back and forth. However, the board got swept up in the ideals of the late 80s, early 90s, and wanted him to speak fire and brimstone fundamental talks. So he retired. He came to Albany, became a chaplain in the hospitals, and when he became so old they wouldn't allow him, he became chaplain in the jails. He always was driven by his love. Many, many hardships. It's not a tearjerker. I'm not going to give you that level of detail. But he was a key part of Unity in Albany for the years that he was healthy. And in the middle of one of those classes, one day he looked up over his Bible at me and said, "Dennis, when are you going to do this?" "Right now, Phil." This is not the first time our nation has been polarized. In the wake of the Civil War, the polarization was significant. And not only was there polarization from that conflict, but there was also polarization caused by the publication of Darwin's writings. People had recently learned that they weren't just below the angels, they were just above the animals. And needless to say, any situation that crops up, there will be two camps. One camp will want to go back to the last time they felt good, and not only did they go back to the old-time religion, but they started a tradition of American inerrancy of the literal Bible. That's a direct result of Darwin and the Civil War. Those who enjoyed the Transcendentalists and E.B. Weeks, like Mr. and Mrs. Fillmore, took a different path forward. We ended up here in Unity Church. So during this period, who were two of the brightest lights? Well, both of them lived at one time or another in Auburn, New York. The first one is William Seward. He came this close to being nominated for president. His love caused him to change political parties when he decided his political party was bankrupt. He competed with Lincoln, and Lincoln hired him as his Secretary of State, and you know him as the guy who bought Alaska. Did you ever wonder during the Second World War why we own Guam, why we own Wake? William Seward. Many, many things were done by him, and things that he set in motion were accomplished by subsequent secretaries of state. It's no coincidence that this man, whose practical politics was married to a woman who was an ardent abolitionist, it's no coincidence that Harriet Tubman lived down the block, because Harriet Tubman went to William Seward knowing he would sell her property at an honest price where she could start a farm and a rehab center for former slaves right here in our own upstate New York. They put their love in action. I don't ever want to talk politics in a spirit message, but I do comment on culture. Currently, there is a culture abroad in the U.S., and in the UK, that is having some violent extremes. The people in Northern Ireland, who live on the border between Northern Ireland and Ireland, are fearing and seeing an uptick in the sectarian violence that was once common. I don't know if you're familiar with Northern Ireland. I'm very familiar with Northern Ireland because in 1969 I was in Vietnam and the radio station was owned by the military, so it never spoke about the Vietnam War. It told me a lot about Northern Ireland, though. Well, I was watching BBC News one night, and they focused in on a village, Enniskillen, and they have a choir, a professional quality choir. They practice regularly. They maintain a very high standard, and they only play to make money for charities. It's called the Caritas Choir, going back to Latin for charity, for love. And at the close of this article on the BBC News, I saw the Caritas Choir singing the peace song. Needless to say, brought a tear. What do all these folks have in common? An ethical and compassionate lifestyle based on the ability of love. So if you were fearful that Dennis would go on forever, that thought of fear has no power over you. Remember the three twos. One good, two good, one bad. If you can't be careful out there, be prayerful out there, and live with your love lights on. Please affirm along with me. Awakened in divine love, I am a blessing, and I do love you.